Hello and thank you for joining me today. This is Mindy McNeil and I am speaking with Daniel. He is a supervisor with the Colorado Crisis Line and I wanted to speak with him simply because the holidays can bring out the best in people and it can be a time of just great frustration, stress, there's depression that happens. A lot of things go on because either we're happy, we're excited, we're buying presents, cooking turkeys, celebrating Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, different things, or we're sad because life is not the way we want it to be. Depression can sink in, suicidal thoughts or even suicide can happen. And I was thinking about mental health for the holidays and just wanted to speak with him. There are resources available. I think sometimes people don't think that there are some resources, but there are. So Daniel, thank you so much for agreeing to speak with me today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Now, you know, I just mentioned off some topics and stuff like that. Like I said, we are here, I am speaking with you. You are with the Colorado Crisis Hotline. So what exactly does the Colorado Crisis Hotline help out with, or what do you all do?
Yeah, so primarily what we are here to help with is we are here to talk to people when they are in a dark space in their life, or if they're just feeling super stressed out. Just anything that's going on in your life that you're having trouble handling, we're here to help and listen to what's going on and ask you some questions to get an idea of where you're at right now, and then to give you some help with some resources or to work through some breathing exercises or anything to get you through that high crisis moment that you're experiencing.
I think throughout history it's been referred to as the suicide hotline. I think people only think, okay, I can only talk to somebody when I'm at that point or I want to take my life or somebody else around me or something like that. This, though, you all do more than just that. It sounds like you have a spectrum of, if I'm just feeling just a little blue, I need somebody to talk to, or I'm at this point where, I'm thinking about doing something drastic. So there's this whole long spectrum. So how does, from your experience or things that you've seen, how does it kind of start or progress to I'm at the end?
Yeah, so a lot of different things can come into play. We hear from people who just need someone to talk to every once in a while and just let out some of the steam, per se, that they're feeling or that's building up inside of them. And really, we can help in that situation to kind of relieve some of that pressure before it gets to a point of someone feeling like they're in suicidal crisis. And then, of course, we do talk to people who are having some really strong thoughts of suicide. And in those situations, we do all we can to de-escalate them and to come up with a plan to keep them safe after that. I really do recommend that if you need to speak to someone or there's anything that you need to let out, that you can call us whenever. We have a crisis line, we have a text line, we have chat services. We have all of these in place so that people can reach out to us for whatever they feel most comfortable interacting with.
Great. And since I have you, and I will be putting this up on our website as well, but could I get the text number to text and then the telephone number as well?
Yeah. So our telephone number for the Colorado Crisis Line is 844-493-8255. And to text in to our crisis services, you text the word TALK to 38255.
So I'm just going to use me for example. Today's Tuesday, I'm feeling sad or, I need somebody to talk to. I call the number. Actually, let's start with the text. I text the crisis line. What happens from there when I text the word TALK?
Yeah, so once you text the word TALK, we're going to ask for some demographic information. So date of birth, zip code, what your name is, what gender pronouns you use. And we ask all of these things partially for data purposes because we report on who we're talking to and where. But we also want to know some information about you, like how old you are, because that's going to help us with what we're going to refer you to or what we're going to recommend as an intervention or activity to you. And then gender pronouns, because we're very sensitive and aware that people have all sorts of different gender identities, and we want to be sensitive to that as well. So once we get the demographic information, we're just going to ask, you know, what brought you to reach out? We're going to have you open up a bit and ask you some questions to figure out what's going on in your life that brought you to reach out to us. We're going to ask you if you're having thoughts of suicide. You know, we ask everyone if they're having thoughts of suicide, because we want to make sure that we're reaching everyone and ensuring that we're giving the proper level of support. And after asking about suicide, we're going to talk through some different things that you can do in the moment to try and manage how you're feeling. And if you feel like you need something additional or something more, we're going to refer you to some different resources that we have within our crisis system and just within the state in general.
From doing that, if I text in and then, you know, I give this information, or let's say I call. So it sounds like if I call, it's pretty much going to be the same thing. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's the same if you call.
Now, let's just say I'm just having this bad day. Things are out of control, and I'm feeling out of control. I don't want to hurt Johnny and Sally. They're my kids. I love them. You know, I don't want my husband to deal with this. But I call, I give my information, and are people going to find out, like, what is my confidentiality as well? Because I've given my name. I've given my date of birth. I don't want my boss to find out. I don't want my husband maybe even to know at this point, or my spouse or my loved one. So confidentiality?
Yeah, so that's something that we hear about all the time. You know, people want to make sure that their information is confidential. And when you call, text, or anything with our service, it is all confidential. It is the same confidentiality as a medical record. So just like your husband can't call your doctor's office and ask about all of your test results, people can't call and get all of that information from us either. So we have a really high level of confidentiality here. We use HIPAA guidelines to protect people's health information. The only reason we would ever share any information is if someone is in imminent danger to themselves or to other people.
What are some things that you all experience that, you know, lead people up to, I'm at my end, I don't want to live anymore, or I just want to go and hurt some other people. I don't even want to hurt myself. I'm just angry at the world and I want to hurt other people. What are some maybe triggers that get people to these escalation levels?
I think one of the biggest triggers that we've identified and that the research has identified is feeling like a burden on other people. This sense of being a burden on others is one of the strongest indicators for a suicidal crisis. And it's something that we hear about all the time. People who feel like their depression is a burden on their friends and family, so they won't talk to anyone about it. And that's really where we come in, because no one's burdening us. You know, people can reach out to us and tell us things that they want to tell other people but are afraid to.
It's more, I feel like I have to live in secret, and I'm carrying my secret because I don't want my secret to influence my loved ones, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And around the holidays, it's very common because we're typically surrounded by family on the holidays. So that makes that sense of burden just more prevalent for people, because this time of year, our families are there. They're in our houses. They're, you know, in town, or you're traveling and going to their home. So being around family can really bring up that sense of being a burden on other people.
Are there things, though, too, that that maybe I can... Maybe I'm thinking, like, okay, you know, because some people have said, you know, I could watch a movie sometimes, it can trigger a thought from back, you know, way back when, you know, a certain song. I've even heard that maybe drugs or alcohol can induce some of these feelings. Are you all seeing that as well?
Yeah, so we typically see substance use concerns rise around the holidays. We talk to a lot of people about substance use concerns. You know, alcohol is a depressant, so when people are feeling depressed and drinking, it can often make their feelings of depression worse. So we really come in to give some education around that and talk about some healthier ways to cope other than drinking or using substances.
And are there things, though, too, because somebody else was saying that, you know, there are some key things you can do to not fall into a funk, you know, like I'm not going to let my moods get me, so I'm going to do things for other people. I'm going to be kind to strangers. I'm going to limit my sugar or alcohol. Are there some steps that you all maybe, you know, tell people, okay, maybe try this, this, and this to help elevate a mood or change a scenario or something?
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the important things to remember is when you're setting goals with yourself to make sure that they're realistic. You know, we get a lot of people who have some pretty lofty goals of all the things they're going to do to change their life around. If they're too hard to grasp, that's when it gets really difficult to manage all of those things at once. And when it comes down to it, it can be really depressing to not be able to meet those goals. So when we talk with people, we really try to talk about small things they can do. You know, even just getting up and doing some exercise, going for a walk. I know it's very cliche and we all say to, you know, do some exercise, but it can be as simple as going for a walk. It can be as simple as jogging in place. There are a lot of things we do. You know, we'll have people splash some cold water on their face, do some exercise, even for a couple of seconds, do some deep breathing exercises. We'll send YouTube videos on text with different deep breathing exercises people can do, and then have them watch it, and then we'll check in afterwards and see how they're doing. So there are a lot of different things that you can do, and I definitely recommend looking up in your phone's app store. There are millions of apps out there for mental health and different exercises and coping skills you can try that the app will walk you through.
I think I want to push away some stigma on this because I think a lot of times people think, oh, the people who call the crisis center, they're just crazy, they got mental issues. But I think too, I mean, honestly, you know, I've I've driven on I-25 and sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going, you know, and I mean, you know, or, you know, I-70 is backed up again, you know, or, you know, you have something at work or things like that. So I think people think it's only, and I'm doing the air quotes so you all can't see this, but it's only the crazy people who need to call in. But I feel like it's just an everyday person because we can get inundated with so much. And sometimes we can feel like we have nobody to talk to. We can put on that face of like, oh, everything's fine, when it's really not. Am I off base in what I'm saying here?
No, not at all. And, you know, from a person who works in mental health, what we think about and talk about a lot is, you know, people go to the doctor regularly for checkups and to check in on their physical health. And it's just as important to do the same with your mental health. We all have emotions. We all have feelings. We all have histories and difficult things that we've been through. And that doesn't mean that you have to do that on your own or manage those on your own. So we really encourage that people, you know, it could be as simple as reaching out to us and having a conversation with someone. And we can help you check in with some of those emotions you're having and talk about how to work through them.
I love that because I think that's the other thing too, because I think a lot of times too, people think there's nobody out there and nobody gets what I'm going through. So let's just say, you know, my mom comes, my sister, and since I'm a child, they've driven me nuts. You know, they've pushed my buttons. Since I'm a child, they've pushed my buttons. I can't get away to call anybody. I text, and you all send me different things that I can do. Now, are these things that I could do even though, let's just say, I'm surrounded by my family, you know, and I, you know, to jog in place, they're probably going to look at me like, what are you doing? But there's other things that I can do or resources that are available to me if I'm in a large group of people and can't step away for a moment.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we have a lot of different things we can try depending on, you know, where you're at and what's going on in your life. Let's say you're in a room full of people and you're texting because you don't want people to overhear what you're saying. We could do something as simple as having you look around your room and tell us different things that you are noticing in your environment, things that you smell, taste, feel. And really try and bring you into the present moment and where you're at right then and there. And it's something we call grounding, and it can be really helpful for people, especially if you're feeling overwhelmed. Being grounded can bring you back into the present moment. And that's something that you can do without getting up from your chair, without needing to do any sort of physical activity at all.
A couple other questions, though, before we finish up. And on a spectrum in your day, what you know, maybe some of your staff or yourself, what is like the spectrum that you all have encountered? Is it I'm just at crisis point and that's why I'm on the phone? Or is it somebody who's at the beginning stages? Or, you know, I've already yelled at my kids and I don't know what else to do because I'm afraid and I see my dog, I don't want to hurt my dog and kick my dog. You know, is it all of that? Or, you know, what's the spectrum of a day for you all on a phone call?
Yeah, so I think in our crisis center, the interesting part is it's everything all at once. You know, we get about 20,000 calls each month, and of those calls, it's anything from depression and anxiety to teenagers texting in because this is college application time and they're stressed about where they're going to go to college and are their grades good enough for college. Or we hear from people who, you know, live with suicidal thoughts every day and we talk to them, or people who have never had suicidal thoughts before who are reaching out for the first time to someone who just has no one else in their life, is really lonely and needs someone to talk to get their day started, or has no one else to talk to about how their day went, so they call us and talk to us about how their day went.
Would not have thought about that as well, as far as, you know, the kids trying to make, you know, okay, I want to go to college next year, you know, my grades aren't good enough, or I want to make applications. So, you know, and I've run into some people who, okay, have been like, you know, my spouse is my best friend, and if he dies, I don't want to live anymore, you know, or I'm 40 and I'm still single and I don't want to live anymore. Or, you know, my parent is my best friend and if they pass away, I don't want to live. So what are some things that you hear? Because like I said, I would not have thought about the kids and the application process for college. So what are some other things that we, is just like the average listener, wouldn't typically hear, you know, to think that this could trigger somebody or send them down a downward spiral?
Something that we hear a lot is the death of a pet is something that we deal with a lot throughout the year. When someone's pet passes away, especially if, you know, we also hear from a lot of people that the one reason they're staying alive is because their dog needs them. And then when their pet passes away, they don't even have that in their life. You know, we definitely hear about family and friends, and if they pass away or if they lose those people, they don't want to live any longer. But something people don't think about a lot is the pets is definitely a big thing. We hear from so many people that their only reason they're not killing themselves that day is because what would happen to their dog if they did that. We've come across quite a few of those individuals who have called us right after their pet has passed away and they're planning on killing themselves.
And you know, and I think about that Fido or Fluffy, they mean a lot to people, and it's their, like, you know, for some people who don't have children, that's their children. Or Fido's been there from the beginning when they brought their kid home, you know, and has grown up as part of the family. So that's really good. Let's say I'm listening to this and, you know, I'm with my sister or I'm with my best friend or my husband, and they're having problems, but they don't want any help, but I know something could go wrong. What can I do to help them so that they don't go to the end where they do take their own lives?
Yeah, that's actually a really great question. A lot of our call volume is people in that exact same situation. We hear from those people all the time who are worried about someone else, and they want to know what they can do for them. So we can definitely talk to those people and talk through some different things they can try, some different things they can talk to that person about. We can also give that person a call and try and reach out to them that way. We can also shoot them a text and see if that person wants to engage with us. But we do have a lot of those calls, and I think it's a great way to use our service because a lot of people, there's a lot of animosity or a lot of emotions that go on that keep people from reaching out to a crisis line. And by calling in and getting some guidance on how to manage that for someone else, it makes the person that called in concerned about someone else more likely to call us if they have a personal crisis. And it also helps the person they're worried about to get through that moment.
Okay. Now, and I know you gave it to me earlier, so if I'm listening to this, I need help, or I know somebody who needs help, a good telephone number, a text number, and then also, is there a website or email address that they can contact as well?
Yeah, so all of our information is on the Colorado Crisis Services website, so coloradocrisisservices.org. On that website, you'll find our hotline, our text line, our chat service, as well as the walk-in centers that we have throughout the state and other programs through Colorado Crisis Services. Our phone number is 844-493-8255. And our text line is you text the word TALK to 38255. And all of our services are 24/7, 365.
Daniel, I just want to say thank you so much just for taking the time to speak to our listeners. This is going to help throughout the holidays, not just because I know Thanksgiving is past, but we've got, you know, Hanukkah, we've got Christmas, we've got Kwanzaa, we've got the New Year. Some people get, you know, sad just even about the New Year because they're like everything. I'm making the assumption here, so hopefully I'm okay with saying this, so let me know if I'm not. But I think people look too as, wow, you know, 2019 was not my year. I don't want to go into 2020, so they could be going into 2020 with some doom and some sadness. So I think that that could be another thing could help them through the holidays. Is that a correct assumption?
Oh yeah, we hear about that all the time. You know, this is a time of year where people are reflecting on the whole year and what has gone on and what they've accomplished. So we definitely hear from people who will look back and see that they didn't really accomplish much, or will look forward and not have much hope for the next year, or the new year, that things are going to get better in 2020. So we definitely hear a lot of that.
Great. Well, Daniel, once again, thank you so much. You've given the phone number. I really appreciate you doing that. And we will make sure our listeners have a link to the website for your website as well. So thank you so much and enjoy your holiday season.
Yeah, thank you and happy holidays.